Christian, we're good.
Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning and Zoning Board, Local Planning Agency, meeting to order for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. Can I get a roll call, please?
Chairperson Kakwan Ma.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kevin McCann.
Here.
Board Member James Evans. Board Member Michael Ferranti.
Here.
Board Member Bart Phillips.
Here.
All right.
We have quorum. Please stand for a moment of silence and for the pledge. Please face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Any changes to the agenda?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Going through item number 100 and 200, not used. We would like to open it up, open up the meeting for public input at this time. If anybody has wishes to speak on and provide input on any item or subject matter, please, we'll open it up at this time. Seeing and hearing none, we will close public input and move on to the consent agenda. Item number 300. Office of City Clerk requests that the Planning and Zoning Board, Local Planning Agency, review and approve the Wednesday, May 23rd, 2019 special meeting minutes.
I move that we accept.
Second it.
Okay. Board Member Phillips.
Aye.
Chairperson Ma.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson McCann.
Aye.
Board Member Ferranti.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Item 301. Same thing. Move and approve. Motion to approve the Wednesday, June 5th Planning and Zoning Board Local Planning Agency regular meeting minutes. Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve.
And a second.
Chairperson Ma.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson McCann.
Aye.
Board Member Ferranti.
Aye.
Board Member Phillips.
Aye.
All right. We move into the public hearing agenda. This is for item number 400. Community Development Department requests that the Planning and Zoning Board Local Planning Agency hold a public hearing to consider a waiver for Northern Oaks, a 35-lot single-family residential subdivision.
Good evening, Commissioners. Just to introduce myself, my name is Christopher Schmidt. I'm new to the Community Development Director here for the city. And presenting the case this evening will be Marla Milena. She's our new Senior City Planner. Before you, you have an updated staff report. As I've explained, we had done an initial review through engineering, and then we did a second review, which came in this morning from CPH, who we outsourced to, and then the stormwater calcs were adjusted accordingly. That's why we amended our request, and then the applicant is agreeable to our recommendation. If you have any questions, the applicant's also present, but I'll hand it over to Ms. Milena.
Hello, good evening. As Mr. Schmidt has notified you that the applicant originally requested a waiver variance on the Northern Oaks property. That is shown as that piece of land that's right there north of 434. So on March 1st, the original applicant came before you and requested two variance or waiver requests for a reduced rear yard setback and a reduced side yard setback, which would increase the footprint of the lots. And as an oversight, the previous applicant did not request a waiver for the extra 55, they were originally requested 55% in lieu of a maximum of 40%. And today we're here because we are reducing it down to 50%. That's the request now. So as Mr. Schmidt has notified you during the initial review by the former city engineer, The storm water calcs appeared sufficient, but however, due to concerns with the floodplain to the north, we've decided to have a second review with CPH today. And they let us know that they have determined that the maximum increase of lot coverage for this area could be only up to 50%, not 55%. And currently that, so approving the lot coverage from 40% to the 55% for only the 31 lots, because there was another waiver request administratively that was conducted back in July. The waiver request was for four lots to increase the lot coverage from 40% to 44%. And the applicant is here to answer any questions, as I am a staff, if you have any.
Great. So does it change the number of units on the property?
No, the number of units will remain the same, a total max of 35 units.
Okay. So the setback has changed?
The setbacks will not change. It's the lot coverage. The maximum lot coverage currently in code is 40%. The applicant is now requesting 50%. The original request was 55%. So according to the new stormwater calculations, they can only go up to a maximum of 50%.
So if they went to the setbacks that were outlined, I saw the 20 feet and 5 feet versus 10.
Well, originally, they didn't calculate the lot coverage when they were approved for the first setbacks. So originally, they should have requested the three waivers.
Yeah. I was just wondering if they went to the maximum, if they put the to the maximum setback, would that be 50% at this point today?
They could go up. If this is approved all the way, they could go up to 50%.
Okay. But the setbacks would stay the same.
The setbacks would stay the same. It's just a larger footprint on the home itself.
Okay. Any discussion?
So on the original plans, did they downsize the home or just downsize the driveway for the impervious?
They did not downsize the homes. They kept them the same, but they didn't request the extra lot coverage in the first request. So the request for the setbacks, front and rear, or front and sides, and yes.
Hello, for the record, Christopher Schmidt, Community Development Director, sorry. Originally, the property, Dreamfinders was not the owner of the property. At the time, the person was just a developer trying to market the property. So at the time, they looked to reduce the side setback and the rear setback, and they didn't think, unfortunately, about the footprint itself. You know, if you look at the site plan, you'll see the building footprint. So in essence, when Dreamfinders purchased the property, Dan can correct me if I'm incorrect, the models that they have exceed the 40%. Majority of them exceed the 40%. So for marketability and for their product, they needed the increase from 40% to 50%.
Right. So the way that I understand this is when the two original waivers were requested back in March, this should have been part of that package.
Correct.
Because they, in order to build their homes with the setbacks that were requested, they would have needed to increase the lot coverage.
Correct. You don't ask for reductions in setbacks on the rear and side unless you plan on building bigger homes. Unfortunately, the previous party didn't do the due diligence of looking at the lot coverage. They assumed that they just had to fit within, most likely I'm speaking for them, they probably thought they had to fit the home within the confines of those rear and side setbacks, and that's not the case. We have a 40% lot coverage requirement in that zoning district.
This was March of 2017, or did I miss something?
Yes. That's correct.
So this has just been sitting there. Did they build any homes to the 55%?
Well, they can't do that currently. They can only build homes up to 40% is the maximum currently.
Okay, even though they have the setbacks reduced.
Correct. In the notes, you'll see in the procedural history, they do have four homes that do exceed the 40% right now because there's an administrative waiver in the code that allows for up to 10%. Which 44%, but that's a limited waiver. That's why you can only do so much. So I capped it because I'm the one that actually it's the city manager designee, which would make me the designee. So I, at that point, I said, well, you have four homes. You can go ahead and do the four homes, but then you have to seek a waiver for the remainder because then at that point, it's not a limited waiver. It's applying to the whole subdivision, and that's why we're here today.
You can have just to address it. So Dan Edwards with Dreamfinders Homes. Do I need to do my address as well? 8529 South Park Circle, number 130, Orlando, Florida. I just kind of wanted to touch on, because you guys are asking some pertinent questions, and I believe you referred to one as far as if we were to build the total. So that is kind of how we base the 55%. Basically, that with the setbacks that were approved back in 2017, if you were to take one of the standard size lots and just max out the entire buildable footprint, you'd be around that 55%. We're fine with the reduction. That wasn't our intent. The concern was more they expanded the buildable footprint, but nothing ever changed with the lot coverage of what the structure could actually be on it. So they made it bigger, but then the lot coverage actually stayed at 40%. We've since kind of realized that additional setback, we're still not even getting to most of those additional setbacks. It's more limiting to what we're trying to actually build out there. When Marla and staff approached me today, we're fine with ratcheting that back down to 50%. Most of the product that we have for the structures themselves actually probably fall somewhere between 48% or so for the structure itself on there. So we're good with the 50%, but I just kind of wanted to add a little bit of color as far as your comment as far as the entire thing. That's how we got to the 55%, but we don't necessarily need that entire amount. So
that's what I had in mind, but at least you still have the ability to move it to one side of the lot or the other to give a little more space.
Correct. And if you look at some of our plans out there, there's a recessed garage anyway, so we're not actually using the entire envelope, but if we do use that setback, it won't be the entire thing. But it's just that 40% has really been the kind of limiting factor that's directly in the code. And when they got the waivers from the code of the setback, they just the lot coverage waiver in the code wasn't modified, and that's simply what we're trying to do today.
So, okay, thank you. Right.
Thank you.
Now, it seems like that property had a lot of problems with water, and there was like a river going through it. I mean, is that all been taken care of so we don't have homes falling apart?
Well, we've had our engineer take a look at the wetland, or not the wetland, but the floodplain and the, sorry. And
that's all right.
And the stormwater. So that's what they reviewed today, and that was anything, and also the final engineering plan. So none of those issues came up with the engineer today. So he reviewed the final engineering plans and again, St. John Water Management District to make sure that there was no additional issues with the coverage.
Okay, so right now the city's planning feels that it's comfortable having homes built in some of those locations?
Yes.
I saw some work being done just the day before yesterday that looked like had some problems with drainage.
That I am unaware of. I don't know what with drainage.
So the final engineering site plan was approved previously. We had them look at the stormwater calcs to make sure it could take the capacity of up to 50%, which the engineers assured us that it could. They submitted that to us. So the drainage issues, the site's in development right now, so there's going to be some issues because not all the infrastructure say everything's locked in stone. But yes, we've been confirmed by the city engineer that they're good to go with regards to stormwater. Dan could probably comment a little more on it because he talked to the engineers this morning, but
it's just for reference, what did you say yesterday or the day before?
Yes.
Okay, so I wasn't sure what issue you were having. So the I was aware that in it was either yesterday or the day before, MasTec, who is Duke Energy's subcontractor, actually hit a water main outside the front of it. And then what was happening is that water main was spilling out some water out front. So that probably was what you saw. If it was right at the entrance of our community in 434, that was a busted water main, which the city was informed. I believe the city was out there within an hour or so, and our site contractor got out there as well to shut the valve off and do a repair. So obviously that would not be an ongoing issue. So I believe if that's what you're referring to, that's an isolated incident that was not related to a floodplain, but due to an accident from a Duke subcontractor. So.
Okay.
Anything more? All right. At this point, then, we will move it into the public input portion of the hearing. Have we received any requests to speak?
No. Okay. I have none.
All right. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this matter? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, then, we will close the public input portion of the hearing. Any further discussion? Then I'll entertain any motions.
I make the motion that we approve.
I'll second it.
Board Member Ferrante.
Aye.
Board Member Phillips.
No.
Vice Chairperson McCann.
Aye.
Chairperson Ma.
Aye. All right, motion passes. Let's see. All right. Item number 500 on the regular agenda, not used. Any committee reports? Let's start with Michael. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
I have nothing.
The only thing that I wanted to talk about was just a reminder to our committee members as well as anybody in the public that's seated. The city does have the 2030 and beyond survey, so if you've received information on that, it will definitely help to provide input on how you want to shape the city, so make sure you get those surveys in. That's all I had. And let's see.
Just one last public input, okay. I believe.
All right. So we'll open it up again to any public input. Seeing none, we will close public input and we will adjourn. Thank you very much.
Easy.
Thanks.
Students, anybody have questions?